Chapter 8. Rule of Slaughter. An End to Duty. Oathed to this moment. Strike Frigate Lacrimae, Pluto. The Imperial Fist's fleet plunged back into the orbits of Pluto while they were still aflame. Drifts of cooling debris spread from the death points of the planet's five moons. Ships still coming from the warp at the Chthonic Gate ploughed into a wall of wreckage, travelling fast enough to shred their hulls. Brief stars flashed as ship reactors overloaded. Of the thousands that had come to take the outermost planet and its gate, hundreds remained, clawing for space in the burning dark. Into this crucible, the ships of Sigismund's fleet cut and began to kill. They came in a long diamond, the fastest ships led at the fore, their heavier sisters following. It was a formation that would have led to their destruction in most battles, but now they came to a battle sphere of scattered and wounded prey. The three sisters of Spite were the first to engage. They each carried a commander of the first sphere. The Persephone was Fafnir Rans, and carried his assault carder, while the Ophelia was the ship of Boreas, first Templar and Sigismund's lieutenant. The Lacrimae remained Sigismund's steed of war, as it had been since he had taken command of the outer system defences. Faster than all their kin, the three ships took the wounded battlecruiser Fire Gorgon first. Its engines damaged, its failing shields broken under the guns of the Ophelia and Persephone, it tried to bring its batteries to bear on its killers. The Lacrimae loosed its payload of torpedoes at point-blank range. The Fire Gorgon became a blink of light. The three sisters burned past the debris of their kill, already firing at their next victim. Behind them, the Imperial Fist's fleet followed, every gun firing without cease. There were targets enough, and they were there not for battle, but for reaping. On the Lacrimae, Sigismund felt the rolling beat of the guns and his hearts rising in concert. He was not a creature of emotion. There were many who looked upon him with fear and awe, and some who thought him bellicose, driven by zeal, a warrior fanatic of the Great Crusade. He was all those things in other eyes. But he was just a function, a necessity of time and need. He had been made one way by chance and time, the boy in the drift camps who was quick and fast, and took the beatings given by the other children but never let them break him, who survived for years after his father was lost to the dust lung fever. He had been remade again, given strength and purpose, and an ideal to follow to the end of his life. And what he had been remade into was a weapon, a tool that shaped the world with its edge. That was his purpose, and he would follow it to the end of all things, until his edge was blunted and the strength in his arm unequal to his will. And that purpose did not require him to feel, only to go forwards. It was will, not fire, that moved his world. Cold fire bound by chains. Even in shame he had held to that. But this moment sung a chord in his soul that had been waiting within through every bitter defence and sacrifice. Vengeance, righteous and pure, filled Sigismund as he watched ships become fire and atoms. It felt cold, burning like the touch of ice. He opened a vox channel with a glance at an officer.
"Burn them from the stars," he said.
And the blade of ships followed his command. Torpedoes were loosed almost blind into the traitor ships drifting amongst the debris. Bombers sped into the dark from battle barges, spinning amongst the clouds of shredded metal and rock. They found the fleet carrier, Cynobarb, tumbling through the wreckage of its escorts. Its prow ripped from its body, it was still trying to relight its engines. The bombers bored into it, flying into the exposed ribs of its superstructure to loose their payloads deep in its core. Melter bombs ripped the shielding from its reactors. Wild plasma poured out, burning through the carcass and sending tongues of flame breathing through the holes in its skin. Some of the traitor craft still had the wit or the power to resist. Five swift-strike vessels in the black and yellow of the Templar elite penetrated the debris sphere left by Kerberos as they hunted a pair of Iron Warriors frigates. The grand cruiser Barb of Nostromo was waiting for them. It had fought its own war in the years since the first treachery, and its crew and masters had loyalty only to their own spite. Its reactor signature, masked by the death echo of the moon, the barb of Nostromo had slid into the shroud of asteroids and waited. It met the five Imperial Fist's strike vessels with a cloud of assault craft. Warriors in midnight armour poured into the Imperial Fist's ships. Two escaped. The remainder died by inches, their decks flooded with the screams of those who had already fallen, their chambers and passages darkening one by one as power was cut. The few Imperial Fists on each fought to the last as the screams became silence and the night surrounding them lit with red eyes and laughing voices. The 24 frigates of the Saturnine Void cohort curved deep into the space between Pluto and the Chthonic Gate. They began to unleash barrages of torpedoes, some blind, others aimed. And amongst the slaughter, the three sisters moved and killed, splitting to thread the battlesphere in search of prey. They could not linger, but for this moment, this was their kingdom, and its rule was slaughter. Horus Axemand heard the hull of the throne of the underworld groan as it made its turn. Steam and fluid vented from the pipes above, as forces sheared and tugged at rivets and welds. The void shields were collapsing, and sparking back to life as the outwash of debris from the moon's detonation struck them.
"Select and coordinate targets,"
he growled into the vox, as he crossed the threshold into the teleportation chamber.
"We will tear them from the dark."
The throne of the underworld and its fleet had been burning hard in pursuit of the fleeing Imperial Fist ships when the moons had detonated. The Loyalist ships had turned about and arced back to the sphere of the outermost planet. Some had turned to meet Axeman's vessels, but their only purpose was to delay, to allow Sigismund's force to strike into the chaos around Pluto. It had worked. It had cost the Imperial Fists those ships they had sent as a distraction, but it had worked. Pluto was a death ground, the ruin of Axeman's assault, ash and wreckage in its orbits. But it would end now. He would take a blood price from the Sons of Dawn, and he would do it with his own hand.
"Find their command ship," he ordered over the vox.
Around him, a cohort of his company veterans stood ready as the machines set into the teleportation chamber's ceiling and floor began to sweat arcs of light.
"Find Sigismund!"
A rolling storm of fire struck the Lacrimae as she curved past a near-crippled warship. Her Auspex did not have time to detect the source of the volley before her shields collapsed. Gravitic shells hammered into her flanks, crumpling and twisting armour with waves of shearing force. A pulse of plasma, 100 meters in diameter, hit her engines and reduced half of them to gas and slag. She began to spin, the flame and iron-filled void a blur around her. On her bridge, Sigismund felt explosions shake the deck. Red light pulsed through the air. The crew were shouting now. Orders screamed as the hull shrieked.
"Batteries 9 through 15 lost!
Motive power at 35%!
Course stabilization lost! Void generator power shunts offline!
We are unshielded!
Lord!"
called a signal officer. The man was gripping the edge of a console, the alarm lights staining his face red.
"Lord, there is an enemy ship closing fast, class unknown, but it's big. They're launching assault craft."
"Sound a primary alert throughout the ship," said Sigismund. "Prepare to repel boarders."
"Etheric spike!"
The cry rose a second before a thread of light coiled in the air above the command platform. The squad of Templars, scattered through the bridge, began to run towards the platform. Sigismund had time to raise his sword as light and shadow reversed and time stuttered. A pillar of lightning flashed into being, slamming into the deck and ceiling. It pulsed. Shapes stood within the light, vast shapes of metal and death. Then the light vanished, and gunfire roared through the sudden dark as the Sons of Horus opened up. Sigismund was already moving forwards, sword lit, the words of an old oath on his lips. The edge of his blade took the first of the Sons of Horus in the throat, even before the flare of teleportation had faded. He was amongst them, cutting and cutting, killing with single blows as gunfire and blades reached for him. And on the Lacrimae fell, bleeding into the void as swarms of assault rams and claws punched into its flanks. Fire and the clamour of killing filled the bridge of the Lacrimae. Warriors in sea-green armour spread out, shooting as they moved. Pulped flesh and blood puffed into the air as bolt rounds exploded amongst the crew and servitors. Sigismund saw the handful of Templars that had been on the bridge with him go down, singled out for overwhelming bursts of fire and then dragged down by blades. That fate would have been his too, if he had submitted to it. The seconds faded. The world was running to the beat of his twin hearts, reduced to the edge and point and turn of his sword. They were all around him now, sea-green armour, descending blades, gun barrels turning to look at him with the empty eyes of a lost stranger. Too many, too close, too swift. He saw Axemand then, standing back from the killing whirl of his warriors, a snarling bronze-fronted helm beneath a red crest, a great sword sheathed at his back. A half-moon of jet and silver sat on his shoulder beneath the red eye of Horus. The weight of the sword in Sigismund's hand seemed to vanish. The chains were gone. It would end here. All the years of war would end here.
Death, alone and unremembered.
He could see it all. The arc of a chain axe sweeping down to cut his sword arm, the blow of a sword, the path of the rounds that would chew his legs from beneath him, on and on, the spinning truth of blades writing the words of death. He could read it all and see that there was no unravelling it.
Death, alone in the stars, not at his father's side. Keeler had been wrong. Death and failure. He would die here.
The realization sank through him, and for the first time in perhaps all his life, he felt peace.
But I will not die alone.
His sword met the chain axe blade edge to blade edge. Sparks and lightning shrieked through the air. He cut through the axe head, sword juddering in his grip as chain teeth sprayed into the air. He pushed the cut on and down into the chest of the warrior that had swung the axe. The traitor did not have time to fall. Sigismund rammed his weight forwards, pushing the blade down and out of the bottom of the warrior's torso. A power sword thrust into the space Sigismund had just left. Its power field split the armour over his ribs. He slammed an elbow into the new attacker's face. Bolts exploded on the deck and in the air around him, but he was already moving forwards, pulling his sword around to take the legs from under the warrior with the power sword, even as his comrade collapsed to the deck in a wash of gut fluid and blood. This was not the sword play of the dueling cages. It was what Khan of the 12th would have called the truth of battle. Stabbing, hacking, breaking, killing without pause or cease, as blood painted the world. It had a rhythm, though. A terrible and pure beat, drummed out in the clash of blades and the roar of guns and the surge of muscle and blood. It was all around him, and within him, the last refuge of his soul, the home he had carved himself cut by cut. The sons of Horus were good, battle-hardened and chosen for skill and ferocity. They were killers all, but they went backwards, formations and fire lines distorting as they tried to bring their guns and blades to bear on the Lord of Templars. Sigismund drove into them, every movement of his sword a strike. He barely registered the mass of them, his eyes fixed on Horus Axemand amongst the throng of his warriors. The jolt of blade parting armour, the steps that pushed him forwards past the cuts of his enemies, all fell away, leaving only the path to this one enemy. He was going to die here. Sigismund knew that. The only choice left to be made was how.
"Alone and unremembered," came the ghost voice of Euphrates Keeler.
He shrugged aside a blow from a hooked axe, felt its force crack his right pauldron, and cut down. A gasp of fresh blood into the air, another body falling, another step forwards. Axemand was moving towards him now, his own blade unsheathed and lit. A shell exploded on his damaged shoulder, the ceramite shattered. Pain exploded through him, and his next cut twitched aside from its mark. He caught the failed cut and raised his sword in time to meet a maul swung from just out of sight. Then another blow swinging in, hacking at his midriff, the attacker one amongst a crowd. A chainsword spun sparks as it raked down his arm, shredding armour from wrist to forearm. Blood. He could taste blood now. Axemand was coming close, unhurried. The sword in his hand was as broad as a mortal's shoulders, a slaughterman's blade. Sigismund turned another strike and sliced his own sword across a throat under a bronze faceplate. A concussive boom and an explosion in his side. Pain. A world shattering into white slivers. He was not going forwards now, and the crowd of green armour was all around, striking, roaring. Axemand was almost there, a red cloak spilling from his shoulders, eye lenses red in the tusked grotesque of his faceplate, a devil king come to deliver the last gift to a crippled foe.
"Come to me," breathed Sigismund.
Pillars of light unfolded in midair across the deck. Blast waves tore out. The sons of Horus, caught in the glare, blurred to shadows before they came apart. Figures in yellow armour stood in their place. Sigismund saw the shapes of boarding shields locked in defensive circles. Bolters fired, and the sound of explosions chased the fading thunder of teleportation. Traitor legionaries fell, punched off their feet by impacts. The circles of imperial fists broke apart and flowed back together, shields locking into a single wall. Sigismund saw the twin axe emblem burned into the pitted yellow, and Rand's black shield at the centre of the line as it charged. They fired as they came, shooting from the loopholes in their high shields. It was brutal perfection, like a perfect axe blow to shatter a skull. And as Sigismund rose, his own blade cutting into the enemies surrounding him, he heard the shield wall crash into the sons of Horus. The mass of sea-green warriors reeled back, but they were neither humans nor newborn space marines. They were the 16th Legion as they had once been, warriors who had earned in blood and death the high place from which they had fallen. They reformed to meet the Imperial Fist's shield wall. Gunfire punched out. Streams of plasma and melter beams struck a single shield and vaporized both shield and warrior. The scattered sons of Horus came together in a narrow wedge to force open the break in the shield wall before the gap closed. A command roared out above the heads of the Imperial Fists, echoing across the vox.
"Open!" shouted Ran.
The wall pulled apart, wide spaces appearing between the shields. Warriors in yellow and black charged through the openings. Enameled laurels crowned their helms, and the swords in their hands lit with blue fire. At their head ran Boreas, his white tabard of office flecked with blood and burned by flame. The Templars struck the sons of Horus as the shield wall closed behind them. It was as though a thunderbolt had reached ahead of the closing storm front. The bridge was suddenly a press of bodies and weapons grinding together like bloody teeth. Power weapons split flesh and armour, and now the deck was a swirl of hacking, slicing and battering. Sigismund saw Boreas put his sword through a warrior in sea green and fire half a clip of bolt rounds into the face of another before kicking the corpse off his blade in time to meet the downward cut of a chain glaive. Another slice of time, and the jaws of battle closed over Boreas. Sigismund was cutting forwards against the tide. He could feel his wounds clotting inside his armour. There were warriors in green and bronze all around him. Another line of pain across his ribs as a blow from behind lashed into his side. He reversed his sword and stabbed it up under his arm. He felt it punch home and ripped it back, spinning the blade in his hands and bringing it down and up to cut the warrior in front of him from groin to shoulder. He stepped forwards and paused. The fingers of his left hand would not close on the grip of his sword. There was something in his side, something embedded in his ribs, something scattering pain into his nerves.
"Lord!"
He heard the shout, close by but dim against the din of clashing blades and gunfire. He could taste iron in his mouth. The battle parted in front of him. His left arm was numb, his strength draining red onto the deck. Horus Axemand came for him. Little Horus did not offer words or posture for the kill. Those were the mistakes of lesser warriors, of those who believed that contempt led to victory. Axemand simply charged and swept his great broad-bladed sword up in a killing blow. Sigismund stepped back, but Axemand's first cut became the second and the third. Sigismund parried the last one-handed and felt the force of the impact tear the muscles in his right shoulder. Little Horus kept coming, swinging faster and faster. Sigismund cut back but only found air. Axemand was fresh, and Sigismund could feel his world contracting away from the battle around him. This was a moment that the sons of Horus had left for their lord, weakened prey for the teeth of the Alpha Wolf. Sigismund read Axemand's next cut, and hammered a backhanded counter at his head. Axemand met the blow, and the two swords ground against each other. Sparks arced out from the competing power fields. Little Horus forced his blade forwards. Sigismund jerked back, releasing his locked blade, but Axemand had felt the pressure give and was lunging forwards. Sigismund raised his sword, but the parry never met. A long blade slammed Little Horus's sword down. Boreas rammed his weight forwards into Axemand as the Lord of the Sons of Horus dragged his blade back up and turned to meet this new opponent. Boreas punched the pommel of his sword into Axemand's right eye lens. Red crystal shattered. Boreas struck again and again, giving Axemand no space to cut. Armour crumpled, blood spattered from torn ceramite. Boreas stepped back, raising his sword to cut down and in. It was perfectly timed, the product of experience and training and the lessons of 10,000 battlefields. It was also a mistake. The blow would not land. Not because Boreas had made an error in technique, but because the opponent he was facing was a lord of traitors, a son of Horus schooled by the War Master, both before and after his fall. Axemand twisted and rammed his faceplate into Boreas before the Templar could strike. Sigismund saw Boreas stagger, then the press of battle closed over his view. Sigismund shoved forwards, but a warrior with a crested helm barred his path and swung a two-handed mace. A shield caught the blow. Light and lightning exploded off the black-faced shield. The warrior with the mace staggered. Ran rammed his shield forwards and buried his axe in the warrior's neck.
"I have teeth after all," growled Ran,
pulling his shield close as a squall of bolt rounds exploded off it. Sigismund was at Ran's side, the old patterns of war slotting back into place without question. There were Imperial fists all around them now, forming a triangle of overlapping shields.
"Low!"
shouted Ran, as a beaked hammer's head hooked over the top of his shield to pull it down. Sigismund braced, holding his sword low in his one good hand. Ran gave for an instant, and then surged forwards, muscle and armour and decades of sharpened skill flowing into the movement. The shield went high, yanking up the hammer hooked over its edge. Sigismund stabbed his sword up and under the bottom of the shield. He felt it ram home through armour and into meat, and pulled it back before the dead weight could pull it down. In the brief opening, he glimpsed Boreas and Axemand. There were sons of Horus all around Boreas now, and blood lacquered the First Lieutenant's armour.
"The teleport sequence is initiated," called Ran. "The Persephone will be in range in 4 minutes. Think we can live until then?"
Sigismund shook his head.
"We advance to Boreas's side," he shouted to Ran.
The assault captain's laugh boomed out.
"You really do want to die, don't you? Boreas was right. We came for you, and you want to die to those dogs? The ship is crawling with the bastards. Our oath was to this moment," shouted Sigismund. "And our duty is to the war," roared Ran. "We will not abandon him."
Ran glanced around at him, green eye lenses unreadable in his helmed face.
"All right, as you will it."
He braced into the shield.
"Forwards on my lead."
The shield wall surged ahead, battering into a gale of gunfire and blades. One pace, two paces, muscle and servos screaming as they absorbed blows, bolters firing into their path.
"Opening!"
shouted Ran, and a second gap opened in front of the shield wall. Sigismund saw Boreas again. He was on the deck, his armour and body a bloody ruin. Axemand stood above him in triumph, sword reversed and descending for the final blow. Sigismund's sword met the downthrust. Light sheared from its edges. Axemand jerked back from the contact. Sigismund stood above Boreas, beyond the wall of shields.
"Brace for teleport extraction!"
shouted Ran into the vox. But Sigismund was not listening. He was taking another step, his eyes reading the arc of Axemand's rising sword, his own muscles and blade aligning. Nothing else was real. Nothing else mattered. His truth was, and always had been, an echo of this moment. The descent of the sword like breathing out, like life. His first blow struck Axeman's sword arm and took hand and blade off at the wrist. A second cut followed the first, no pause, no breath drawn, blood falling as the tip and edge of Sigismund's sword passed through chest plate. Blood flared bright on green armour, the colour of a sea in a storm. Axemand staggering, bleeding, the air around them screaming, light expanding to drown sight. Sigismund raised his sword for the killing blow, and the world vanished in blinding light. The Imperial fists left the Lacrimae to the blades of their enemies. The surviving ships dived for the void and the distant moat that was the sun. Most were wounded, many were burning, and some would die before they reached the battlefields that waited for them. On the teleportation deck of the Persephone, Sigismund lowered the sword that he had raised on another ship. The dissipating thunder of teleport discharge faded from the air. Around him, streaked in blood and soot, stood the brothers that had come for him. Behind him, unmoving on the deck, lay Boreas. Blood was seeping from him, pooling on the floor.
"Apothecaries!" shouted Ran from nearby.
Sigismund did not speak. The numbness in his left arm had become fire in his flesh. He looked down at his sword, still chained to his other wrist, and then raised it and touched the flat of its blade to his forehead.